You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport.
Hello, and thank you very much for tuning into episode 2.3 of the Ball Bags podcast. As always, I'm joined by talents of Chief of Controversy, it's the coach.
Hello, sir. All good? Yeah, all good.
And I'm also joined by the chieftain of shithousery, that is the bottom feeder, Atlee. How are we, mate? We all good?
Yeah, I have a Twitter account now, so that is going to be, and it's actually got the bottom feeder handled as well, and it's going to be wild.
Why don't you call out that the handle there, so?
It's just called the bottom feeder, Atlee.
Yeah,
and I might add, I stopped using Twitter because I like to go on a tirade on it. So just to say, the views may not be shared with this podcast, whatever I put up on Twitter in the future. Yeah,
I can just imagine the bottom
feeder. My opinion is my own.
Yeah, yeah, my opinion is my own. No one owns me.
The bottom feeder at least Twitter is just going to be, you know, abuse at Ben Foster.
I'd never give Ben Foster grief. Like, he's a handsome man making, you know, 30 or 40 grand doing absolutely fuck all. So I can't really be giving Ben Foster any grief on Twitter, to be honest with you, lad.
But he sticks a camera behind his goal.
Look.
For personal vendettas.
Man's making money like that. I want to be, like, you know, I can't be giving him grief. Ben Foster is
Ben Foster more a footballer or a social media influencer? Where does he fall now?
He's kind of gone that way, isn't he? He just got around.
I think once Paul Robinson loved him, I think he became more of a social media influencer. To be fair. Nice. That's a cracking goal. I suppose we have a lot to get through today. We're probably not going to do a proper player of the week. I think we're all kind of in agreement on who that is this week. But I suppose, look, just to remind you that our player of the week is in partnership with The Athletic. So click the link in the podcast description for 1 month's free access to The Athletic. For the Athletic rather than, I suppose, to The Attic. Next up, we've got the main segment, which is Agree to Disagree. We're going around the houses again this week. So first up, it's going to be the bottom feeder, Atlee. He's going to have a look at the NFL coaching carousel. We've also got the coach taking us through the transfer window with a slight maybe twist. And I'm going to round out proceedings with a look on, I suppose, LeBron James' legacy and kind of where he stands from a viewpoint of the general fan. And then finally, we close out the proceedings. The coach is going to take us through Have You Seen This?
Coach is going to take us.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
You threw it up on a WhatsApp, so I'm like, right, we'll go with that one. So, gents, I suppose, player of the week, when we tell people, who is it?
Rafa Nadal.
Rafael.
Jesus.
It was probably a slow weekend of sport. We're recording this on a Sunday prior to the NFL changing to a more convenient recording time with a work from home potentially being seen to be a thing of the past. So it's going to be Sunday nights. I'm going to get those fan questions in. I know no one's got them in about 6 months. But the link's in the bio, so just send it in, man.
Bad Brenda's out there somewhere.
Yeah, Rafa Nadal probably. Yeah, where is Bad Brenda? Is he still bad?
Brenda disappeared after I said, like, he sounded like the ultimate sex weapon, and like he never put Ant back in since.
Coach, you're all class. You're all class, mate.
Before we start, gents, I was just wondering, can we raise an issue?
We can.
Obviously, there's breaking news this evening of a man in his 20s being arrested on sexual abuse, sexual assault and rape charges in the Greater Manchester area. Now, one can only assume with the player being suspended.
We all know who it is. We all know who it is.
Manchester United training this week.
Yeah.
Look, if you're listening to the show and you've got a child who may have a Manchester United jersey with this player's name on the back, get rid of it. I think Manchester United should do the right thing and offer anyone with that player's shirt to come in and swap it out for anything if they have any moral or ethical kind of feelings or standpoint. I think it's probably the right thing to do, no matter what happens from here on out. I would think it's the right thing to do. I think it's an absolute disgrace, particularly with everything that's gone on, obviously from an Irish perspective over the last couple of weeks, with, you know, things that happened with Ashton Murphy and what have you.
And look, they've had instances like this in the UK too as well. I think it was maybe last summer, the cop who'd killed the girl walking home, you know, so it's not an Irish
and specific. I know, you know, people can say the supposedlys and accused of and all that sort of stuff, but there's no smoke without fire, and with the player in question, it's probably, you're probably up to at least a handful of times now that there's been different instances of something along these lines.
At
20 years of age. So just bear that in mind if you're a listener to the show. And it's sad play, because we always like to jest about Manchester United, and I know other people do, particularly if you're a Liverpool fan or any of the top four fan, but this is bringing them to a new low now. I think it could crumble, or you get coming together the rest of the players, and you might see a little bit of a resurgence, but it's not a good place that they're in right now.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's a football player who plays for Manchester United. I don't think it's necessarily Man United's fault that he is in this situation now. I think it's a problem with football in general.
Yeah.
Not at all am I forgiving any of the acts he's done, like, because they're absolutely horrific. It's the lowest of the low. But we have to start looking at the system in play where we take young men, probably from disadvantaged backgrounds, and we throw millions at them. We tell them they're this, they're that, they can have whatever they want. And then we're surprised when they get themselves in these situations. It's like, I'd be far more in favour. It's probably too late. It's way too late for football. I think it's on a road to ruin. But in salary capped sports, there is rules and regulations that you can't get paid above a certain amount of money until you're over 25. So what generally happens is players tend to get paid better towards the end of their career when they're probably past their prime. But we can't keep throwing money at kids from rough parts of the world with no proper training.
It's a lack of education as well, isn't it? Like, it's
lack of education. It just, this is going to keep happening, and it's going to happen worse.
Yeah,
and it's almost a concoction as well. When you take that, everything you've just mentioned, and you mix it with the kind of trial by social media or just social media in general. Obviously, in this instance, you know, where you're almost certain that the person in question is wrong and is wrongdoing, but It doesn't help. It's I don't know what we do. That's the education piece. Like, people of that age are probably more educated than even us, or older people than, you know, some police that are out there on social media. But like, it's just way too easy for news to spread. This isn't the story. Like, you know, it isn't probably something that should have spread as quick as it is. Like, you want people to be investigating whatever. As I said, there's no smoke without fire, but in any other circumstances, you look at, you know, Ryan Giggs' situation at the moment, we could have possibly known about all that before the police did. It's a very possible thing these days. So it doesn't help either. It's a sad evening.
In addition to that, I suppose something that you did touch on social media, but like, I think an additional thing now for the modern day player is, when they were, like, say, 15 years ago, when they were coming through, they weren't getting the ridiculous amounts of money they are now, but they were still getting sizable sums of money. But the adoration was reserved for on the pitch or people seeing them in public. they're now getting this adoration 24/7 on social media. So how much does that inflate an ego and bring around this sense of invincibility? Like, it's
dead. Yeah, you're dead right. And I think it comes back to something you said before about, or I was listening to something recently about, you know, having social media accounts for footballers aren't the footballer having a social media account necessarily. It's a manager. No. It's a social media account manager. It's a whatever the case may be. And a lot of players, I'm sure, will have askew names that they use for family and friends or whatever. But you're right. It's 24/7. It's non-stop. And I know players get paid a lot more, but they have a lot more to give, obviously, because you look back, so you'll say, I don't know, a Michael Owen, a Robbie Keane back in, you know, in the 90s wouldn't have had all the ways to earn the same amount of money and all the ways to, as you said, to get that affection or whatever. So I don't know how you manage it. It's only going to get worse, unless they do get, you know, education, or maybe we put some sort of, if leagues or clubs put some sort of rulings in there that, I don't know if you can't have social media or how you can manage it, but I don't know how you police it going forward.
Well, to be honest, like, if Man United knew about Greenwood's transgressions before, and if there was more that, you know, that we don't know about yet that they do, like, to be honest, they should have fucking wrote it in his contract, really. Like, if there's any transgressions, like, the below, you know, your contract will just be terminated. And he only recently got more money. Like, it's not that long ago that he was given additional money, like, on a new contract. And I think they fucking knew. So, I mean, you kind of have to cop, like, the club has to cop a bit for this as well, in that, like, what are you doing giving someone who's not definitely, clearly not in the right fucking headspace more cash, you know? Or, like, if you knew about it, why didn't you have something in place to either be able to cut the ties straight away with him or help him or whatever, you know? So,
well, they have kind of, they've suspended him from training and matches.
Yeah.
Effectively, immediately. They can't, you can't legally cut someone without a criminal charge.
Yeah.
It's a colossal breach of contract. It precedes anything in terms of kind of football and sporting world. It's like contract law. It's like you can't do that. That can't be done on a fair dismissal, all that kind of thing. But you don't know, like, what, like, maybe that isn't the contract. We don't get a chance to sit down and read through to find the print items of contract. They're kind of reserved to kind of
the agents, what you're told, really,
what you read and stuff. And we also don't know Mason Greenwood on a personal level and the club proceedings. And maybe there had been these issues in the past, and maybe he had engaged with the club, but they respected his privacy, and he'd been working on these in the background. You just don't know the full story. You'll never know the full story.
Yeah. We also don't know when it's from. The stuff in question today could be from that period. Exactly. You know, so we will, I suppose we will.
I think October 12th was mentioned, I think, just in something I'd read, I think.
Yeah, but it's becoming all too common. Like, one time is too many, and now we've got Mendy. You know, there's been a few other situations as well, and it's just, it's not a good look for football.
No.
Not a good look for
anything, society. Really.
Society, correct, yeah.
And regardless of what the profession is, if he's a plumber, it's still not a good look.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose, maybe stick a pin in that. And hopefully, everyone involved gets what they deserve. For that young woman, incredibly brave, gets justice, and hopefully, if she does get justice, if another woman finds herself in that situation, she finds the strength to speak out, having seen this be dealt with appropriately. And so that's all we can hope for. So, on that somber note, Bonfeeder Atley, take us through your agree to disagree.
I just want to point out that I was forced to change my topic. No, not really. I'm only messing.
Well, you were, because you weren't using your brain. Do you want to explain why you weren't using your brain?
Well, it's not even that. Like, I'd like to just point out that you know, if it was edited tomorrow night and released, like, it'd be grand, but sure.
It's
game for tonight. I know, but anyway, no. No, so look.
It'll be out with a day and a half an hour.
So at the moment, look, just because the AFC and the NFC Championship games are due to kick off, like, while we're currently recording, there's no real point kind of talking about it until after they've happened. So we're just going to take a look at kind of like the current vacant head coaching positions, because at the moment the Broncos, the Bears and the Giants have all reached agreements with their new head coaches. So that's Nathaniel Hackett is the old coordinator for the Packers. He's now with the Broncos. Matt Eberflus was the former defensive coordinator for the Colts. He has gone to the Bears. And Brian Daboll, who was the offensive coordinator for the Bills, has gone to New York. And just before we kind of dive into the rest of them, I quite like the Daboll hire in New York. I think, like, he probably got it off the back of all the development work he did with Josh Allen and the Bills offense getting quite explosive now over the last four seasons. So I think New York are hoping like that he would give them, you know, their own quarterback and their own way going forward. So I actually quite like that one. What did you think?
Is your housemate standing behind you?
No, he's not here. what do you think of the Matt Eberflus one? Because I didn't really see why they would do that.
I don't know an awful lot about it, to be honest with you.
I think they fucked themselves for the next 4 years. I think they just had to go and get someone to help Fields, and that's...
Yeah, like, I think Chicago needed someone better anyway. I think now I'd love to prove them wrong, but Chicago's a strange franchise in that if it wasn't in a big city in Chicago, it probably would be a bit of a joke franchise. Like, they've won Super Bowl in the history.
And that was in 1985, like, it's madness. 86.
86 Bears. Yeah. And it was, even then, Jim McMahon was a cult hero, but it wasn't true effective quarterback play. He was good, he was serviceable, he was a good NFL quarterback. But it was built on the Monsters of Midway, the 1986 Chicago Bears defense, which was a sight to behold. And football was a lot different then. It wasn't a passers league. It was rough and tumble.
Yeah, and I know, like, obviously the Hackett hire just plant seeds of, sure, one leaves Green Bay and the other will follow.
Yeah.
I think, look, we've been saying it for a while, we think Rodgers is going to land in Denver. It's a very good spot for him to land, like, with the weapons to have. I don't know. Like, I think, yeah.
I also think Denver is a city suits Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of a laid back part of the world, and I think the California kid, like, I can see it work.
They let him leave his long hair there, like, they let him keep his long hair and his moody ways, I think, they'd accept him. But I think the Hackett hire is definitely that, I think that's in mind of getting Aaron Rodgers, yeah. And then, like, obviously, like, the Saints, like, Sean Payton has just stepped down from the Saints. I think that, as a job, is very... I think you'd want to be out of your mind. Yeah, it's
the worst job.
I think they're projected to be $70 million over the cap. I think Payton was like, fuck this.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Alvin Kamara is due a big payday.
I don't know how they're going to make this work.
That he would have earned.
And he'll get it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because they're not going, I don't understand who would take the Saints job. They have, interviews lined up with Byron Leftwich, who is the current Buccaneers coordinator, and he really probably should end up getting a job somewhere in this coaching hire. Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, which actually, I don't know, I think that's just kind of spikes to the fact that the Lions were in a lot of games this year. The more you look back, the Lions were in a lot of games.
Yeah.
And just couldn't win them. So before anyone laughs at a Lions defensive coordinator getting an interview, he probably did. He probably caught the shite out of a really bad crop of players and
league average players. Look, I'm safe saying that, like, league average players at best.
Yeah, and then New Orleans defensive coordinator Dennis Allen is also on the list for that job as well. But yeah, like, just short and sweet with the Saints. I wouldn't fancy. It's certainly not.
Colossal rebuild. The thing you've also got to bear in mind in the Saints that kind of gets overlooked is they're only the powerhouse they've been in Peyton's tenure. Which is like, I know it's a long tenure, 2006. Before that, like, they just weren't.
Look, if you are a head coach, if you're in a position to be a head coach, you're always going to look at a quarterback situation. And their current quarterback situation is on an injury table somewhere, you know, doing his rehab. Yeah, and the thing with Winston as well is he's obviously had history of issues in the past, and he's a bit volatile like that, where you knew that Sean Payton and Drew Brees would keep that in check. Now you've got none of them there, and Winston to come back from an injury. So, like, to be taking that job and finding success with it in your first year, like, good luck to you. Honestly, I wish you well.
And you've also got one of the most talented wide receivers coming back in the league. I know Slant Boy or whatever they call him, but Michael Thomas is an incredible wide receiver coming back off a year's injured, and he probably disinterested with the franchise. So that's another stumbling block. You're going to need to, I don't know if you could even convince him to stay.
No. The next one, like, we're looking at is the Jags, which is probably the one I'm most interested in. I would allot him purely because of Trevor Lawrence. You know, they fired Urban Meyer, who was, look, we've given Urban enough of our time. Like, he's a shite hawk, and he'll go back and make his money in college somewhere or do whatever he's doing. But former Eagles head coach Doug Pederson has interviewed, which I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago, that Doug might not be a bad fit there.
His problem is longevity.
Yeah. Former Colts and Lions head coach Jim Caldwell, Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich again, and also Todd Bowles from the Buccaneers have done that. And believe it or not, Bill O'Brien is interviewed for this job as well. How?
On
just how there,
is David Culley mentioned in any of these?
No, that's
because that man does, because they had, what, 5 wins when they had Deshaun Watson and 4 wins when they didn't.
David Culley from, and now in fairness, he may have interviewed somewhere. He might have, but he is not on my, I don't have him down for one. Listen, this is the fucking thing, isn't it? Like, David Culley got 4 wins with that team. I would have kept him. And apparently,
He was a fall guy. He was an absolute fall guy.
Apparently, he was the one that, as far as Deshaun Watson went, like, it was a very amicable situation between the two of them, you know? So, he was probably the only one that was ever going to get him back playing there. So, but the Jags obviously have, they're a very young squad. If they hit right on this one, this could be a bit of a game changer.
And they have a high draft pick as well. So,
yeah, I think Leftwich, Doug Pederson, and probably Kellen Moore would be, I think the Jags would be happy with any of them to bring Trevor forward.
Another thing that's not talked about enough with the Jags job is the second draft pick. Maybe it wasn't second. But the Jags also drafted Travis Etienne, who was Trevor Lawrence's running back at Clemson. You have James Robinson there. He got injured in training camp. He did his ACL. He's there for the season. So you potentially could have an incredibly strong running game next season. plus a second year Trevor Lawrence.
Which,
and wherever you can do the free agents and whatever graphic.
Like, all, like, I know he didn't have a great year as a rookie, but when you.
Situation.
There's not, yeah, like, do you ever watch players and you're like, right, look, this is never going to be a thing. And you know. But with Lawrence, you're actually like, no, there's.
You showed me something.
Yeah, you see flashes every game. Like, there's two or three throws every game. You're like going, right, that's a desirable job. Like, you get the right chap in there. So, the Vikings, obviously Mike Zimmer has been there for quite a while. He is gone now. And, yeah, if before I give you the list for the Vikings, who would you think like could take the Vikings to the next? Because I actually think that's
one of the more attractive jobs, mate. It's a good roster, and Kirk Cousins he's not amazing, but he's serviceable. He can do a lot with serviceable. And someone who's been an NFL leading rusher in the past two seasons. Generation talent at wide receiver. An incredibly hard worker at wide receiver too. Thielen. Yeah, there's not that, and that the defense is not terrible. I'd say Mike Zimmer's a terrible coach. I don't know who I'd pick to go in.
So
based on maybe even Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore has not interviewed yet with them, but he is on the list to be interviewed with them. I think the most interesting one there is DeMeco Ryans from the 49ers. Who is really fancied right now by a lot of teams, and I think he would have already signed somewhere if he wasn't in a championship game tonight, to be honest with you.
49ers just lose a coordinator every season. It's...
And do you know who else is on it? Speaking of losing coordinators all the time, Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that knows, did you ever hear that, like, about Sean McVay? Like, you know Sean McVay, you're getting a job.
Yeah. Interesting. Did anyone see the thing that posted during the week? The Washington, then Redskins coaching coordinators from 2004. It was like Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, and...
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan, yeah. I was going to say Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah. Like, and they were dirt.
So bad, and now they all
shows you, yeah.
Like Matt LaFleur has lost, is it like four? I think it's like
home in the playoffs.
No, but his regular season record over his first like since the Packers took up is stellar, and then you compare it to Kyle Shanahan's and it's like going someone has in an NFC championship game tonight, and then, you know, has been to a Super Bowl in the last couple of years as well, so I don't think he really gives a fuck what his record is.
Absolutely. Record, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into record.
And then the last one is the last one I want to talk about is the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Purely because they have plenty of, they've plenty of promise. Brian Flores, I think,
Harshly done.
Was shafted, and yeah, like, I just don't get it. I don't get why they let him go. I don't think anyone that's interviewing are even close to Flores' ability as a coach, to be honest with you.
I think the Dolphins are a bit of a poorly run franchise. Like, you've seen all that stuff coming towards the trade deadline where they were looking to trade Tua for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is not playing football ever again.
That is bold. Do you think so?
Well, do you see a situation in which Deshaun Watson plays next season?
I can see Deshaun playing at some point next season.
As soon as I see someone alleged what he's alleged with, and then email leaks, whatever you want to call them,
I haven't seen
him offering to buy silent, scream skip. So I don't think Deshaun Watson ever plays in the NFL again. He might go play arena football. He might go play in Canada, maybe, who knows. But I do not see him playing in the NFL again. And I think the information we see as members of the public is minimal in terms of what top-level executives in the NFL see. I think it was a wild, wild move. So I do not... They're very jittery, the Dolphins. If things don't work straight away, gone.
Yeah, they don't really build towards anything. And as soon as, like, the last 2 years, they had winning records. And it was definitely the most stable Dolphins team I have seen in, like, 10 years. Probably more. Yeah. And they decided, like, fuck this. Sack Flores. Because he was at odds with the GM, like... Of course, Brian Flores is going to be at odds with the GM. Like, he's a fucking angry man. And look, you know what I mean? That's what he does.
Hard, without overvaluing the position, very hard to be successful in the NFL without a top-level quarterback. If you have a top-level quarterback, you can pay for over so many cracks. I'd say the Dolphins, to me, are in line with maybe a Denver. Like, they're... They have a good roster. Maybe Denver's probably a bit better than them in terms of roster standpoint. But they need a quarterback. The only one who seems to be able to do that is probably Samson.
The difference between Denver, though, and Miami is that, like, if Miami somehow decided they wanted to give me a job in the morning, I'd be inclined to go no, because you don't really look like you're ever going to back someone and give them enough time to do it anyways. Look, I know Vic Fangio, like, is out in Denver, but, like, they did give him I think Fangio, like, not the ideal quarterback, but, like, there's weapons there. You know, he was a defensive-minded head coach, but they gave him enough time. Do you know what I mean? And they gave him enough good draft picks. I would take that job way quicker than Miami, because it just seems like it's just going to, like, you could be gone by the end of the season for year one. They're like, no, don't.
Question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe wrap it up shortly. But if the rumors circulate, obviously this goes out, the answer probably no, but at the time recording, it's Sunday, and we still don't know if Thomas Brady is actually going to prepare. If he does Bruce Arians step in?
Yeah, I think, like, the Buccaneers are going so back to the bottom of the fucking cellar again. It's... Yeah. And it's mad. Like, next week we're going to be recording a podcast, and it'll be, like, the first podcast ever that Tom Brady is retired that we're doing, which is mad.
Do you think we'd even know about it?
I think...
I don't know. I think he might drag it out.
I think it's going to be dragged
out. He hasn't made a decision.
I think it's very possible he wants to go out after playing a game where everyone in that stadium knows it's his last game.
You said that last week.
I think fucking Adam Schefter definitely jumped the gun and he's not popular.
Like, this is the mad thing. Schefter's a reliable source. Like, this is a black eye for Adam Schefter. It's the same as, imagine this happened to Adrian Wojnarowski in the NBA. Imagine this happened to Royo Manola. Like, there's certain people... Their word is their job. As in...
Rayo Manola, do you mean Fabio Romano?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
But, like, Schefter, if you've seen anything with him after it, he's not backing down off it either. Like, he is actually, he's doubling up. Like, he is...
There's something in it, though, isn't there? Like, there's a reason he hasn't announced it yet. He's waiting for something. I don't know what it is. It's going to be whether it's a live 30 for 30 or a... There's something, or if it's another game, if he wants to go out the first game of the season, I don't know what, but there's something that we're waiting here.
There seems to be substantial rumours that it will be the last episode of Man of the Arena that is currently aired. Like, it's an ESPN show that Tom Brady has at the moment. And
can someone actually link me that?
Yeah, I'll send it to you afterwards. It's actually, just a quick one on that, it's amazing. Everyone should watch it. But
it's basically following his last year, is it? Or not the last
year?
No,
it's followed his whole career. But, like, the last episode is the Tampa section. And it was supposed to be out by now. But apparently they had like recorded multiple different endings because they weren't sure whether they were going to win the Super Bowl or not. And they apparently scrapped it. So I don't know, there's something definitely going on in the Brady camp anyways. But I just can't believe it's all over nearly.
As a self-confessed Brady hater, I'll give him probably the benefit of the doubt. Like, this is a big one for me, but do you remember on the eve of the Super Bowl last year, all these rumors that come out that Aaron Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay?
Yes.
That's a very Aaron Rodgers move. To grab headlines when there are no headlines. Tom, for me, is the opposite. I actually don't think Tom would like to announce his retirement and distract from the championship game. I'd give him that, like I'd say he has that much integrity that he'd rather have announced that Tuesday morning.
And go off quietly into the night.
Go off quietly. I'd give him that as a...
I think he's earned that, to be fair, from people, is that like he's always been about everything else. Why is it... Now, having said that, he's turned into an absolute fiend of a troll since he joined the Buccaneers as well, so...
The memes of Giselle with a phone saying, "Hi, this is Tom, I quit, delete my number."
Yeah, like he's turned into an absolute serious troll. The social media team on Instagram put out the best bangers on a Monday morning after games. So, do you know what? Maybe he's having fun with it now, and he's just like, look, I've done it for 20 years. Let's keep him on their toes.
Well, look, why don't we... Is it possible at all that he's not retiring?
I think everything is on the table, yeah.
Maybe he's doing a Gronk move.
Trade me.
Gronk was supposed to be traded to the Detroit Lions. And he says, you can't trade me, I retire. He retired. And then came back. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe just wants out of Tampa. Or maybe, yet again, Antonio Brown strikes again. He wanted out of Oakland. We all seen what happened in Las Vegas this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted out of Pittsburgh. We see the mess that Pittsburgh is now. I know Mike Tomlin's brilliant, but we see the mess that it is right now with no quarterback.
So what, like Antonio Brown foreshadows, like... It's
Antonio Brown is the new Madden course.
Yeah, you can see the future, is it? Madness.
Yeah.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. And even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Well, look, why don't we stick a pin in the NFL there? Coach. You're going to discuss transfers.
Yeah, look, I suppose over the last, you could say over COVID, but I suppose a lot of people are watching the January transfer window, which isn't typically too exciting, usually, but a lot of people are hearing the terminology like loan with an option to buy or loan obligated to buy and things like this. And just as I break into my segment. There's news breaking this evening, obviously. Well, not obviously, but Cathal Heffernan, Rob Heffernan, former Irish athlete. His son plays for Cork City, and he has looks as though he's just signed a loan deal with AC Milan with an option to buy. So, which is a strange move. It's great for Irish football the last few couple of weeks. A lot of Irish guys going the direction of Europe. Yeah, Kenny's kids. So. It's a funny one, obviously, an option to buy from Cork City. But I suppose put a little bit more context to it, I suppose, hopefully. With COVID, the clubs across Europe obviously struggle to make ends meet. And the loan that's coming more increasingly prevalent, I suppose, is this obligation to buy. And I suppose it's made famous the first big kind of move of it, if you can remember back to Mbappe when he moved from Monaco to PSG in 2017. And that one was probably one of the most ludicrous clauses that has ever existed. I don't know if you remember it going to UEFA and FIFA and lots of lawyers and stuff like that, because they had an obligation to buy him for $200 million at the end of the season. So, along with an obligation to buy for $200 million. So, I think, though, that there was they had to avoid relegation, basically, was the catch. But that was the first one that kicked it off. And then you'll remember, I suppose, Manuel Locatelli, when he was leaving Sassuolo for Juventus. And it was a two-year loan, and then Juventus obviously had an obligation to buy, so they had to buy him after the 2 years, which obviously were still in. He's still on loan. But Juventus do have to buy him with $25 million over 3 years. So it's a lot more popular in Europe, particularly in Italy, because of all the shit show basically that went on in Italy with finance and stuff like that. So it's much more commonplace there, because simply the Italian teams don't have money. Not as much.
It's easier to get players this way, isn't it? Like, definitely over a shorter term. It's like, right, take 2 year loan. Like, you take him for 2 year loan, even if he's a disaster, you haven't paid out money over the first 2 years, whatever about the wages
and
as well.
Yeah, and this is where we come to the obligation versus the option. So if you have an obligation to buy, similar to Locatelli, it's very, very possible in 18 months' time he's the new Mario Balotelli and his dog shit.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. Clubs are...
It's a gamble. It's a huge gamble.
Clubs are effectively like shopping in Littlewoods. As in, like, they want it now, they don't want to pay for it now.
Yeah. And they've no obligation to return either.
they've no money, and they're praying they'll have money in 2 years' time.
Correct.
But there's no guarantee they'll have money. So it's... Yeah, look, it's a very dangerous... But I've said this before, in the wake of, like, the European Super League, football is... on the precipice, and I don't think it's impossible that we see a huge club in Europe, a la a Barca, a la a Juve. The German clubs are better run, to be fair, as long as it happens there, but we could definitely live through Barcelona ceasing to be Barcelona. They could go into administration and effectively be where Derby County are right now.
And that's what they're currently doing, isn't it? Like, you look at Adama Traore signing yesterday.
Aubameyang
today linked that will probably go ahead. Because they have a third this window, I think, as well, don't they?
It's hard to keep up now, to be fair.
Ferran Torres.
Was the Torres thing not a done deal, though?
No, it is, but you see, you've got Ferran Torres' wages now, and you've bought in two obligations to buy on loan. So, it's you're in dangerous territory there. Adama Traore, by the way, we all know, is one that could very easily go wrong. Very, very. There's a reason they got rid of him in the first place, you know.
But he's not getting his place at Wolves. But like, he was struggling to get his place at Wolves.
Yeah, so this is one that could really go... It could really, you know, they could really do themselves in with that one. Couldn't they?
It's incredibly dangerous. But it's scary to me that such household names and sporting organisations... are being reverted to this, and it's as if no one's like, the worry doesn't seem to be as widespread and it's talked about. Like, it just seems like, hold on a minute, lads, we're driving the Titanic here and we can see the iceberg, and it's slowly starting to dawn on people that we can't turn this motherfucker around before we hit this iceberg, because European football, and it's scary, the situation it's in. Now, look, they'll probably all be bought out by Saudi oil men. But Barca can't do that. Barca can't be bought out by Saudi.
Yeah, because of the CEOs and the presidents and what have you.
Juve are very similar to the city of Turin. Yeah. Very similar.
Well, actually, Juve is the next one I wanted to bring up, because if you remember Christian Romero, he signed a 2-year loan from Juventus with an option to make the deal permanent for $60 million last summer. Romero was loaned to Tottenham on the same day Atalanta activated to buy the Argentinian defender. They agreed an option with Spurs to make his transfer permanent at the end of the season for $50 million. So what are Atlanta or Atalanta in that situation? Do you know what I mean? It's now.
Can we take a moment to actually kick Spurs and realize that Oli Tanner, a non-league player, rejected a move to Spurs because he didn't like the personal terms. Like that brought a big smile to me this weekend.
Yeah, and then I suppose you've clubs like Norwich who, I suppose, would have seen Ozan Kabak play for Liverpool for half a year or 6 months. Went and signed him. They have an obligation to buy from Schalke next season. So they have to buy him. 13 million. Haven't paid 4 million up front. So the upfront fee is important now as well, because that's really becoming your transfer fee, I suppose. Now, with the ruling coming in last week, I don't know if you saw it, so you can now only, from next season, you can only have 6 players in on loan and 6 players out on loan. We've now got clubs like Man City, Chelsea have 46 players. City have 46 players on loan. Chelsea have 21. Atlanta have 62 players out on loan.
Which is due to change.
Is that not just for the?
It's six
Premier.
And six. So you can have 6 in and 6 out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, two things are going to happen. Atlanta are going to let a load of players go out and free, or they're going to have to sell up. And I'm not convinced that clubs around the world have that type of spending power anymore. I think we're probably going towards more of a US style structure where it's going to be a lot of trades. I think there's going to be a lot of trades going on. Because otherwise, banks are going to start owning players, cryptos, and so on.
But do you know why this is coming about, though? It's not actually COVID.
It's just COVID. Overspending.
It's overspending, but it's also clubs who are predominantly, say, the weaker sides. Weaker is a wrong word, but there's so many smart people now involved in football. They're making astute signings and then selling those players off for
double what they bought them for.
Yeah, like, you look at what Ajax do, and Ajax have spoken about this, like, they need to do that to survive. They need to bring someone in for pittance, get good football out of them, win the Eredivisie, have a run in Champions League football, and then sell them off, like a Donny van de Beek, who's rumoured to be going on loan to Everton.
But looks at, he had options there, Everton Palace.
Frankie de Jong as well came from Ajax. Like, Ajax have a history of
Ziyech at Chelsea, and the big rich clubs, because they were so rich, were like, okay, we'll just buy. You put in the work into making the player. We have our academies, and if we get players come through, that's brilliant. But we know we can buy. If Ajax have a glory season in the Champions League, if, remember the year Monaco did it, I'm not on about Mbappe's year, but even before that, Ludovic, Juli, Morientes, do you know, like, they've relied on being able to pickpocket good years at clubs for so long that they got lazy.
Yeah.
And now they can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, it is becoming, because you even look at, there is players in Ireland now that are 16, 17, 18, 19, and even a little bit older. And if you're still going to the UK, you're probably making up numbers for a 23s team. Whereas if you're going to Italy, Germany, Spain, you're there because you're in the first team eventually. You might be playing in the B team for a little while or in the academy team, but you're probably not just a number. Most likely, because they don't have the money to waste on that type of thing. So they'll rather have the local players coming through to make up those numbers that they need. So if they're going out to get you, they want you. But I'm just wondering, like, are we going to face a financial crash in association football? Or is there always going to be a Saudi to bail people out?
Yeah. Because
there's more clubs than there is Saudi investors.
Yeah, but there's also American investors.
Americans' money is hard-earned money, though. I'm not sure an American wouldn't buy Barcelona if the opportunity arose.
Well, you see, Barca and Juventus,
they can't be. I know, but
they won't be. But I think, how many huge clubs are going to fall into this? I don't, 3 to maybe 4.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely scary times for the World Association football, though, especially in Europe. I actually think we were wrong to fight against European Super League on a few different levels.
Yeah, Yeah, like there's definitely, I know we'll probably come over again at the end of the season, I'd imagine, or towards the back end of the season, but I think there is a place for it. I do, I really do. I think there's a place for it. But it's scary times in the transfer market. I just, like, you look at Liverpool's deal today with Louis, what's his name? Number 23.
Oh, him. Yeah. The name's gone out of my head.
Porto's winger.
Well, Luis Diaz.
Luis Diaz. Like, that's probably the last one of... You might get one or two a year from now on, big money buys. But even Liverpool haven't been buying straight up for years. You look at any deal, the Coutinho deal when they're selling them. You look at Thiago buying Thiago in, who's... Thiago's deal is like $2 million over 3 years or something. Like, it's... The financial element of it is all spread out. When Coutinho obviously was bought by Barcelona, that financial package was sold to a bank in Madrid. So the bank in Madrid paid Liverpool, you know, a little bit less. So the bank in Madrid keep the money from Barcelona with its interest. Like, so whatever it was in the end was 120 million. Liverpool might have got 100, but they got it up front. Whereas Barcelona are still paying that bank in Madrid. So yeah, I think transfers are done. But the loan deal is a funny thing, because just to add, I suppose, circle us out and finish us out with a loan deal for 1 or 2 years with an obligation to buy, that now does not count as a loan deal. So going forward next season with our 6 loans in, that will not count as a loan deal if it's a confirmation buy at the end. Where it's an option to buy, it will count as a loan deal. So that's a very interesting thing as well. So you have your 6 players.
Do you also think as well, 2-year loan deals are a bit mad? Like, as in, a loan should be a short-term thing.
It should be like, yeah. Typically,
as in, like, you know, a player development thing.
Yeah.
A season tops. It's a season, you know what I mean?
Or we're looking, like, he's not getting game time for you at Real Madrid, and we're under pressure at whatever club might be in the Premier League, like in
Chelsea,
like
you look at Saul going from Atletico to Chelsea, you know, and that was an option to buy, but I think he's gone back already, isn't he?
The deal didn't get much game time, I don't think. I don't know,
but it's very interesting because you look at those clubs, the Cities, the Chelseas, Atlanta, like. City are going to be okay because they've gone 6 or 7 or 8 clubs. So those players will all just sign deals at them other clubs until such a moment in time they want them back, if they ever want them back. You look at Jack Harrison playing for Leeds now, the whole deal with City at the time, he was playing in New York, but he was a New York player. Really, he's a City group player.
City group player, mate.
But, you know, it's not going to affect City's loan deal. So I think that's what's going to happen with the top few clubs. You're probably going to see, you might see the likes of Liverpool having an MLS club. It wouldn't shock me.
Fair. Yeah. No, I've no.
Bottom feeders draining off there. Look.
Issues. I think it's time to sleep. So we'll cover my bit, I think, quickly, and we'll get out. Yeah, I just wanted to spark a bit of debate, so I'm going to throw a statement out there. It's probably divisive, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. So the statement I'm throwing out for you gents tonight is: LeBron James is the most underappreciated superstar in the history of sport, and in the vacuum of his absence, only then will the world understand that he was and is better than Michael Jordan.
Oh.
I'll tell you what this comes on the back of, right? So right now, LeBron James is 37. He's in his 19th season in the NBA. He's averaging 29.1 points, 7.7 rebounds, and 6.3 assists. If Steph Curry was throwing up those numbers, we'd all be screaming. Like, no one, I think, as a superstar has attracted as much hate, been as maybe the voice of a character, without actually ever doing anything wrong. You look at all, like, why is it that people have such an issue with LeBron James?
I think, honestly, it still comes back to the day he did the decision. There's a lot of people will hold that. Like, do you know the way we were talking about Schefter earlier, saying there's a black eye against Schefter? That was a mark against LeBron, like, because.
But no one treats Kevin Durant with the same level of leaving OKC to go play with.
He didn't announce it on ESPN and burn a whole franchise to the ground, though, either. And that's what happened. Like, you want to call it spade a spade.
Yeah,
like,
but LeBron James also came back and brought that championship.
And yeah, he did. And then he left and he went to the Lakers. And then they won a championship in LA. And now they're currently floundering. And they don't really look like they're... Like, you look at the Lakers now and you're kind of going, like, where are they going from here? And I think the answer is fucking nowhere. And I think he's going to figure out how to scatter out of there now and go somewhere else again. And I think that's my big gripe with LeBron is always
the team hopping and the super teams.
You know that way?
I agree with you up until the point of him leaving. I don't think he'll look to leave Lakers, but I do think he'll look to general manage that team himself. He wants to get his son in. He wants to get a couple of people around that give him the opportunity at least to get to a finals again. And the team he's assembled this year, while they're all great names, there's too many of them that are... Like, you couldn't afford a team of Ronaldo's, you know what I mean? Like, and that's a few kind of we're putting together.
But the West is getting better and they're getting worse.
Well, there's a few things that, like, we've touched on already. Like, Anthony Davis just isn't that guy. Like, he was brought in to be the face of the franchise when LeBron did move on. He's not going to be that guy. He's a Scottie Pippen. He's a number two. He's a great number two when he's on the court, but he's soft. And look, as much as it's going to kill me to say this, it's not the hottest take to say that Westbrook is just a bad fit.
It's a bit more than that, though. It's a disaster, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
But they constructed that roster when they brought Westbrook in last year. You were looking at that going like LeBron, Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook were never going to be able to space the floor. And
in a league that's now...
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But everyone knew that. Like, we all knew that, like, if they were going to play a certain brand of basketball, that was probably going to be a little more physical and less based on, like, three-point shots, then that's fine. But that hasn't worked out either. Like, it's just not worked out at any capacity. Like, for them as a trio to play to the strengths that they have doesn't fit the modern NBA. Like, I know Westbrook was on, you know, astronomical money and the trade was probably not that hard to make, but it was the wrong one.
Like, and I agree with all this, but I suppose my point is how divisive LeBron is. Like, for every person you find that enjoys LeBron, you find someone else who hates him. Like, compare him to maybe, like, say, let's just say for the last 20 years, say, 15 years, he's been the superstar of the NBA. He's a global name. Regardless of whether you say Giannis is better right now or Kevin Durant is better, LeBron James is the name that flows. Despite all of what he's done off the pitch, or off the greens, let's say, it's hard to find as many people that hate Tiger Woods as hate LeBron James. You wouldn't find anyone that's got a bad word. I know that was a good point. You wouldn't have anyone that have a bad word about Federer.
Phelps.
Like, what is it about LeBron James? Like, he's from small city in Cleveland, Akron, it's a rough city. He's from a single parent family. Never went to college. He's done so much outreach work. He's done so much philanthropy. He's never even been involved in a legal dispute. He's with the same girl he was with as a teenager. Like, what is it about LeBron James that people just don't?
I think the other people you named there don't put themselves in, like, let's take social media. They don't go out of their way to put themselves in the frame. Okay, Woods has done stuff off the greens, but he hasn't gone out of the way to be in the public eye. Whereas LeBron does it at every opportunity. But Phelps doesn't. Who else did you name there? couple of other greats.
Even after all he's done,
it's like McGregor. Sorry,
Tiger Woods doesn't get battered nearly as badly as LeBron, I think. And look at the amount of stuff that lad does.
That's insane.
I just think LeBron rubs people like he rubs me the wrong way.
McGregor there, like.
That's what I'm saying. McGregor puts himself in the frame to be battered, though. So does LeBron. Yeah,
because of what he does outside the octagon.
Yeah, I agree. But he also puts himself in like, he's on social media. He's the one putting the stuff out there. It's the same as LeBron. Woods is the one who doesn't put himself out there.
Conor McGregor was not sharing videos of him left hooking that granddad in that bar in Dublin. Like,
no, I guarantee he was sharing videos of something else at the same time.
What I'm saying is,
it doesn't necessarily what has to be involved or the content. It's he's still putting himself in your face. If I want to go on,
but he's not really mate.
If I want to go on my headphones and I go and Google it, right, I'm gonna see a picture of LeBron.
You've opted to follow him though,
McGregor or LeBron, because I follow them both.
Either or, you don't download Instagram and automatically you're subscribed to following LeBron James, that mad U2 album that everyone's iPhone downloaded one night. Like, I still don't get, what, because he's on social media and his social media presence, that makes him divisive.
No, I suppose what he does, Tiger Woods, I also follow Tiger Woods, but he's not putting himself in my face at every opportunity, with an ad or with whatever.
That's because Tiger Woods has lost a lot of his advertising.
But that's what I'm saying, he's potential. Not there every time I look. Every time I look to go for a fucking pub meal, or go to the Black Forge. No, I won't. I don't want to be shot. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, like, just you go to every sports shop, it's LeBron James jerseys. Why? Like, just because he's the one person that everyone knows in the NBA. It's not fair. Not in Ireland, it's not.
That's not his fault.
It is, though.
It's his fault that he's the most instantly recognizable superstar in the sport. That's his fault. It's not the, like,
but it's his doing, not his fault. I don't think fault is the correct word. Doing. It's his doing, which is good for him. That's how he makes his money. But that's how he rubs people up the wrong way, also.
Wait, is it the rural Irish thing of he's doing well for himself? Is that the reason, though?
It's begrudgery. It's Irish begrudgery in its form. Yeah. Like, you're not allowed to be doing well for yourself or having nice things. And unfortunately, LeBron does really well for himself and has fucking loads of nice things.
My point is, we love to put athletes on a pedestal. We love to make them these superhero, like, they're so brilliant. We love to see a hero rise, but we absolutely love to see them fall, and he hasn't fallen. And is that why he's online? Because he hasn't had a fuck-up.
That might actually be fair. Yeah, you're kind of like, go on, like, 20 years in the league. Like, fuck up, go on. Go on and fuck up there.
Get a parking ticket or something.
Yeah, no, you take a school and everything. Just do it. Don't tell us you're doing it. Just do it. But he has to tell us every opportunity he's got that he does it. Go and invest in Liverpool, that's fine. Don't wear the jersey into your next match. Cop on, like, fucking 40.
Do you
know what I mean? Oh, we've set someone off now.
You invested in a pizza company. That's fantastic, I'm delighted for you. Don't go and do the rad as well.
But he's trying to make money, mate. So he has to, like, raise awareness.
Get someone else to do the ad. Pay someone else to do the ad. Pay Michael Jordan to do the ad.
Jeez, Michael wouldn't do that. Yeah, look, so, yeah, no. I think I kind of realised halfway through that. I was like, this is actually just pure old school rural Irish village bigotry.
In Ireland, you can do well, right? And the thing is, it's not even Irish people that don't like him. There's other people that don't like him as well. It's one for one in every other country, probably.
Yeah, I know, that's my point. But is it bigotry, though?
No, I think it's like a rubbing it in thing. You can do well for yourself, just don't rub it in. I don't think LeBron is that humble. I don't think he's a humble guy. I don't think he can go, geez, I've done well for myself. I think he has to let people know that he's done well.
Yeah,
you're not entitled to do that though when you do well.
You have to take what comes with it, and that's 50% of the population hating you.
But he's done well, and he's also using his platform to give back and help people who aren't going to do well.
That's a joke, like.
It's not. It's completely different. he's done remarkably well, and he's given back.
He is giving back, but he doesn't have to let everyone know he's giving back.
Well, he's trying to inspire other people to also give back.
Like, the Sami Hyypiä Academy in Finland looks after, oh, I don't know how many thousand kids every year. They also pay for Irish kids to come over and play there. Now, it's a scientific experiment also, because they want to get the measurements of people, of kids from UK, Ireland, everywhere else. They get them to come over for free. They put them up for a week and look after them. How many people knew about that?
How did you link Sami Hyypiä to this LeBron argument, by the way? That is madness.
There's a massive, massive, massive rabbit hole here.
He's not going out there going, look at me, look what I do. But if it was LeBron, he would be.
Because no one would care, because it's Sami Hyypiä, mate.
Oh, my God. Okay, but...
But here's one for you. Here's one for you, though. You know what I mean? They're not real, because I was reading, actually, the 10 widest believed conspiracy theories in the world. And I think number 9 or number 8 was that Finland's not a real country. That it was made up by... Listen to this, it's brilliant. That Finland was made up by Russia and Japan so they could fish in between the sea, between Russia and Sweden indefinitely, and they wouldn't get tariffs or anything like that. I went down a rabbit hole last night.
Can we please start a new podcast where we investigate conspiracy theories? I'd love it. I'd listen.
We could. Mate, that would make one more listener then that listens to this. So. But look, food for thought, right? There's not liking someone, and then there's the general hate that LeBron gets. And I just think, you know, when he's gone, I think we'd appreciate him so much more.
I think LeBron needs to be a little bit more Shaq. That's what I think.
In what way?
Like, Shaq does all these good things, but he doesn't put them out there. It's other people that happen to reward him at that moment in time.
Yeah, Shaq does. Shaq is very... If you watch any of them ESPN, TNT, he's very keen to talk with these when he's on the show. And, yeah, look, no, I like Shaq.
He's not a rub-it-in-your-face type of guy. He's like... And he's not... He doesn't walk around with a persona, whereas LeBron walks around with a fucking persona.
He's such a big Roger.
He's playing... I feel like he's playing a character, LeBron.
Come here to me, I thought
he's Space Jam.
Yeah. He made a movie, mate. Because he's got a production company. Because he's doing really well for himself, mate.
Space Jam. That new Space Jam was awful, by the way.
It was terrible. It's probably the worst kids' tweens movie I've ever seen. The first Space Jam, brilliant. Second one, ruined the whole Space Jam franchise for me. Space Jam 1, probably the greatest ever movie ever.
We're a Michael Jordan podcast.
I'm going to leave it on this, is that I actually really like LeBron. The two of you don't like him. I didn't watch the movie. So it's actually the Begrudgers is why he's doing so well. With that.
Well, fuck him, because I streamed it.
A perfectly legal device as well, yeah?
Yeah. Right, look, in partnership with USA Sports, what is this week's Have You Seen This? Because it's 8:10, and I'll see some Joe Burrow action.
This week's Have You Seen This? And the Sasquatch, hopefully we'll have a link on our social media platforms, or possibly not. But it's Cameron Brannigan, former of Liverpool Football Club, who is now playing for Oxford United, who yesterday they won 7-2. Cameron Brannigan scoring 7-2 against Gillingham. Cameron Brannigan scoring 4 penalties. I watched back this game just to see were all the penalties, you know, 100%, or were any a little bit soft. Every single penalty should have been given. Every single one. And he bangs them in, by the way. Top class penalties, 2 top left bins, 2 you're not getting to in the side netting. Quality penalties. Incredible. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. It was a toss-up. It was either the Cameron Brannigan 4 penalty scores and a 7-2 win, or it was going to be Addison Becker getting 2 red cards rescinded from VAR in the... So Cameron Brannigan went, it's probably more of a nicer story. But that's this week's Have You Seen This?
Yeah, I had another one as well, but look, I'll leave it.
Well, it's probably LeBron doing a fucking ad.
Yeah, no.
He's really grumpy today.
Rugby League State of Origin. Wheelchair State of Origin. Wheelchair Rugby League, yeah. Do you know what they do for a kick? Do you know what constitutes a kick in wheelchair rugby? Never seen this before in my life.
They head it, did they?
Fist pass.
All right.
An old school Gaelic, that's what they do for a chip and chase. It's brilliant. Just seen a few clips over the weekend, a few NRL pages were crying out for content with like 2 weeks to go to the Indigenous All-Star game. So, look, I find it interesting. But look, that's all from me.
It's all from me. A couple of weeks left till international break, can't wait.
That's all from me. Enjoy the AFC Championship game, boys.
Thank you, and good night.